Thanks for joining us for today's Word of Hope from First Christian Church in Burlington, Iowa. In this broadcast, you will hear songs and hymns of praise, a children's moment from our youth pastor, Justin Livingston, the pastoral prayer for the day from our associate pastor, Brooke Anthony, and a message from me, senior pastor, Dave Yonker, that I hope will fill your spirit and give you hope. You are always welcome to join us for worship in our sanctuary on Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 10 a.m. and in our parking lot for our drive-in service at 11:30 a.m. here at 1221 Park Avenue in Burlington. For more information, check us out at burlingtondoc.org. You are invited to grow in faith and share God's love through First Christian Church in Burlington. Hey, good morning. Welcome to First Christian Church. We're so glad that you've chosen to worship here with us in person and online. It's great to have you all with us. Wherever you find yourself, here is a beautiful day to be as a church family together. As we're gathered, for those of us inside of our sanctuary, we invite you to take out your worship bulletin that you received on the way in. And on the right-hand side, you'll find a little tear-off sheet that says connect at the very top. And so we invite you to tear it off now and fill it out. Connect with us by letting us know that you are here with us in church today. On the back side, you can check one of those boxes if you'd like to know more information about getting involved in our church family. You can also jot down prayer concerns or praises that you have in your life. And after you fill it out, you can drop it in the offering plates that will be outside the main sanctuary doors as you leave worship later on this morning. For our friends who are joining us virtually, if you go to our church website, burlingtondoc.org, and you scroll down a little bit, you can find a PDF copy of today's worship bulletin. So we invite you to download that now, and you can follow along with us here in church. If you are at home, we also invite you to have ready the elements of communion that you'll need, because we have communion every single time that we get together for church. So we invite you to gather those up there at home. And for our friends in our church, we hope that you picked up one of our little all-in-one communion kits. We'll need those for communion later on in our worship service. It's a big week of lots of things happening here in the life of our church. And so on the back of your bulletin, you see some of the things that are going on. It didn't make our announcement slide, but we're having a short deacon training for those of us who are a new deacon or an old deacon who is coming back on. And so if you kind of want to hang out here, we'll be having a short little training session following this worship service. On Tuesday night, we're having a little pancake supper down in our fellowship hall from 5 to 7. It should be a great time, and so you can kind of come and go between those hours, and it should be a wonderful time. So we invite you to come for the food and fellowship here on Tuesday night. If it's pancakes on Tuesday, that must mean that it's Ash Wednesday on Wednesday this week. So we're having two worship services here inside the church, one at 12:15 and then one at 7. The service is about 35, 45 minutes or so, and so we invite you to come here and begin the season of Lent with us on Ash Wednesday this week. Next Sunday is our annual pie and cake auction, and we've been having the pie and cake auction in our church since before some of us were born. We've been having it a long time, and so it's kind of a long-standing tradition in our church to help raise money for our high school students who are going on their summertime mission trip. And so we hope that you will not only bring next week with you to church a cake or brownies or pie or something for us to sell, so bring that with you, but then also be prepared to pay way too much money for that cake or pie or brownies or whatever you bring with you, because we're trying to raise money for our high schoolers who are going to Princeton, Illinois next summer. We're also still continuing to receive our Week of Compassion special offering. This is our denomination special disaster relief offering. We partner with Disciples of Churches all across the United States and Canada to help people who are in need when there's a tornado or a hurricane, some kind of natural disaster. And so we continue to raise money for this Week of Compassion over the next couple of weeks. And so there's a little envelope in your bulletin, and you can fill that out, or you can give something online as well. But we do our best to serve people who are in need in all kinds of difficult times. And so our Week of Compassion offering is our way to help do that together. It's a great day to be a church family together, and so we invite you to stand up and say good morning to the friends around you. And you can wave hello to our friends online with a camera over to my left-hand side.
Turn mornings to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn mornings to dancing. You turn beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. Turn grace into garden.
All right, all right. Loving, gracious God, we give you thanks and praise for your Son, Jesus Christ, the one who fills us, the one who gives us life, the one who awakens us every single day. We pray that his Spirit may fill us as we gathered here for worship, as we've set this time aside to be in your presence in the midst of all that we have to do today. So fill us and bless us in the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. We invite you to find your seat, and as you're doing so, we invite the young kids of our church to come down forward and meet Pastor Brooke for today's Children's Moment.
Goodness sakes, come on over, everybody. I'm so happy to see you. How are you doing this morning? I am enthusiastic because today I see some old friends here in church that I haven't seen in a while, and so I'm so excited. And I see new friends, too. And both of those things excite me very much, so thank you for coming to sit with me today. You're still sick. Okay. Good to know. Okay, I have a question. Listen, I have a question. I have a question for you. Shh, could you listen? I have a question for you. If I asked you, what does love look like? Kind of a hard question. What does love look like?
Hugs.
Hugs? Yes, hugs are one way that we show love. Caring for someone, definitely a way we show love. A heart, I love it. One of the ways we show love. Yeah. Jesus and sharing about Jesus is a way we show love. Just a second. Helping someone when they got hurt. Absolutely. Landry? Praying. We can pray for other people. Yeah, Lincoln? Sending someone a card. Jack? Helping others. Oh my goodness, you guys are full of great ideas. Hunter? How do you show love? Oh, by giving a kiss, as long as that's okay with the other person. Yes, when we give a kiss, that shows love, doesn't it? Absolutely. Charlie, did you have your hand up? We help others that are in need. One last one. Caring for others. These are wonderful ways that we show love for other people. You know, our Bible talks a lot about love, and there's a writer named Paul. He writes a lot about love. And just a few weeks ago, we learned a passage by Paul, and Paul wrote about love. He said that love is patient, love is kind, and it is truth. Have you ever heard that passage? Love is patient and kind? No. Okay, good. Learn something new. He also said some things that love is not. He said that love is not rude. Love is not irritating, and it does not do wrong to others. That all kind of makes sense, doesn't it? So we just talked about all these different ways that we can show love to others. And several of you said that if we help people, we're showing love. Now, our church gives to a special ministry called Week of Compassion. And Week of Compassion helps people that we never are going to meet because they usually live all around the world. But we give money, and Week of Compassion shares with places and people in need. And one of the ways that they do that, they help to rebuild a school after a hurricane. Do you think that's a way to show love for somebody, is to help them get their schools put back together? Yeah, absolutely. But I don't know about you. I can't build a school myself. I'm not very handy. You could, Lincoln. I'm glad to know it. I could not. And so what we can do is give our money to Week of Compassion. Week of Compassion can help us build it. Now, here's another way that Week of Compassion helps. There is a place, a country called Myanmar, and our offerings to Week of Compassion might help the women in Myanmar buy chickens. And there's going to be a picture that comes up of one of those ladies. Have you ever thought of buying chickens as a way to show love?
No,
I sure hadn't. It's kind of silly sounding, isn't it? You had? Okay, so one of the ways that this helps her is not only can the eggs that her chickens make feed her family, but also she can sell the eggs and provide for her family. And so we don't know how to buy a chicken for that particular lady, but we can give our money to Week of Compassion, and Week of Compassion can do that caring, loving thing by helping to support people all over the world. So today I have these special coin boxes, and you may recognize them because we've done this many years. Each of you can have one of these at the end of service. I will hand them to you as you leave the sanctuary. You can collect change or dollars. And one of the things that we might do, maybe at dinner time when you talk with your family, share a way that you saw love, a way that you gave love or experienced love. And for everything you think of, put a coin in here. So this will be our offering collection box. And if you could bring it back in 2 weeks, we'll pray for that offering to help people just like this lady, but a lot of other people all around the world through our love and our caring and our gifts. All right, let's pray together. Dear God, we thank you for Week of Compassion that helps us to show love for others all over the world. We pray that you would bless any offering we bring in to support others, that they would see your love through our donations. All God's children shouted out, amen. Now, boys and girls, if you are in second grade or lower, you can go out to children's church. Today, Jump is not meeting, which is our 3rd through 7th. So if you are 3rd through 7th graders, you'll go back and sit with your parents, okay? And if you have been practicing with our children's choir at M&M, sorry, you're going to stay up front for your performance.
Jesus loves me, this I know.
As we come into this time of prayer, we each come with the worries of the week, with the joys and celebrations of the week. We each come bringing various things, and so we bring them to our God in prayer. Let us pray. O Holy One, we bow before you today, marveling at the mystery of your workings in Jesus. Like the disciples did, we sometimes have difficulty moving from our old ways to new. We want to frame things in ways that we can understand, even though your mystery is beyond words and beyond understanding. We often are tied to the past. Lead us today to a place where all things are made new. Open our minds and spirits to new ways of experiencing your presence. Lead us to the mountaintop as Jesus led his disciples. Lead us to the mountaintop where we can be changed and where we can have a vision of a world made new. Lead us to the mountaintop where we can have our limited vision corrected and we might hear the radical voice and leading of Jesus. Lead us to the mountaintop where we can see more clearly the tasks to which you call us. Lead us to the mountaintop where we can be commissioned to go and serve the world, even as Jesus did after he returned from the mountain. We share with you the concerns of our heart. We pray for your healing and strength to be with all in need. Bless those who suffer. Heal those who are broken. Sustain those who are weak and lead those who wander. We give thanks and praise that you are our God, a God who cares for even those deemed the least by the standards of the world. O God, give to us a vision and the will to embrace this world of need. Where any of your people suffer, we pray for a way to assist them. Where any of your people are sick, we pray for the opportunity to offer them comfort and support. Where any of your people hunger, we pray for a way to feed them. Where any of your people are oppressed, we pray for a way to help work toward justice for them. Where any of your people are in poverty, we pray for a way to build stability with and for them. We pray especially and urgently today for the people of Ukraine. O God, in your mercy, protect and shield those who are being attacked. We feel helpless to do much more than pray, and so we will do that. We will pray without ceasing. We pray for all lives that are impacted. Bless, O God, the families and the children and all people who are living in fear. We pray that there would be an end to the conflict and that it would arrive swiftly. We pray for your peace to rain down on both countries, to cool disagreements, to heal fractured relationships, and bring peace to both lands. Much as the prophet Isaiah shared a vision in which swords were beat into plowshares, we pray that weapons of war would someday, somehow, become instruments of peace. We pray Isaiah's words, that nation shall not lift up sword against nation, and neither shall they learn war anymore. When we are at a loss and don't know where to turn, we know that we have a Creator who loves us so much that he sent his Son to walk among us and to show us the way. We lift these prayers humbly in the name of Jesus Christ, and we lift our voices together as one, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This morning on this Transfiguration Sunday, we turn in our Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 9, verses 28 through 36. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him. When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent in those days. In those days, they told no one any of the things they had seen. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God indeed.
We have reached that time of year, and for those of us here in the Midwest, that there is a telltale sign that this is late winter, early spring. This sign is not the collection of coats and hats and gloves and scarves that you have piled up in the back seat and trunk of your car, or thereby like the garage door kind of near your house, or sometimes in your bag that you take to work every single day. It is not that collection of heavy coats and medium jackets and lightweight windbreakers that you've been carrying around for weeks now. It's not that. It's also not all the weather apps that you have open on your phone at all times, because we've been constantly checking the weather. Some days the high is like 15, 20 degrees. The next day it's like 55, 65 degrees. And we're not quite sure what to do and how to dress. We're doing like a do-si-do back and forth every single day. Sometimes it's shorts weather. Sometimes it's the biggest wool warm sweater we own. It's this constant flow back and forth. And there are even days when, like, your Weather Channel app says that we're going to get, like, 1 to 3 inches of snow. And, like, the AccuWeather app says we're going to get between 5 and 75 inches of snow on the same day. And, like, your weather app from, like, the Quad City TV station says it's going to be 95 degrees and no snow whatsoever. And so, well, you're like, well, which one is it? We've been checking it every single day. But I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about as the telltale sign for those of us who live in the Midwest these days is the line of cars that stretches 10, 15, 20 cars deep at the car wash these days. People waiting 45 minutes, sometimes an hour, to get their car washed because we all have film and dirt, grime and sand built up on our cars and everywhere all over the place. In fact, some of us could do even more than like write "wash me" on the back of our car, but we can write "supercalifragilisticexpialidocious" on the back of our car. The dirt is so thick for some of us. We could sweep up enough dirt to cover the infield of Busch Stadium and Wrigley Field combined. Jesus said, "You will know that the end times are near because you have been out interpreting the signs and the seasons and like the stars and the moon." And so it's like that for us. Winter is nearly over. Spring has almost come. Our cars and garages and lives tell us so. It's covered in dust and sand everywhere and every single day. I was thinking about this as I was doing some sweeping in our garage this week, and I was thinking about it because I was reading the scripture here before us today. See, today in the life of our church is like this little mini holiday called Transfiguration Sunday. It's a small, the kind of small little holiday that's like a transition day kind of day. Because today we've come to the end of the church season called Epiphany. And Epiphany started way back at the end of Christmas, when the wise men finally reached Jesus in his house. They brought their gifts of gold and frankincense of myrrh on Epiphany, this holiday that takes place on January the 6th. And so since January 6th on, we've been hearing stories of Jesus growing up, teaching and preaching and out sharing the good news of the gospel. In fact, even our sermon series that we finished up last Sunday has been all about how there have been good words of hope that come to us even in the dead of winter. But today, we have this turning point. Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, and so it's the beginning of the church season called Lent. And we begin this 40-day path, this journey toward the cross, toward Holy Week, and the empty tomb on Easter. Some of us, every year in observance of Lent, sometimes give things up to remember all that Jesus sacrificed and went through in his own life. And so maybe this Lent, like every Lent, you're going to give up social media. You're going to give up soda or pop or sody pop or whatever you call it. You're going to give up sweets or coffee or whatever it is. And I've mentioned before that whenever I was a little kid, I tried giving up green beans for Lent. My parents wanted no part of it and had to eat green beans anyway. Some of us will actually try to take things on in Lent, like try to pray more or read the Bible more. I mean, maybe starting Wednesday, you're going to say the Lord's Prayer every morning, first thing when you wake up. Maybe you're going to grab one of our devotionals at the Welcome Center and read it devotionally every single day. Whatever it is, on Wednesday, we begin the season that's 6 weeks long, pointed toward Easter. And so here we are kind of in the middle, in this like transition kind of time. And the scripture that we heard today on Transfiguration Sunday gives us a glimpse of what we'll see on Easter, but we're not there yet. And so we heard the Bible say that Jesus went up the high mountain with some of his disciples. It was Peter, James, and John who went up there with Jesus. And while they were there, they were praying. And suddenly the clothes of Jesus were like this dazzling white color. And like his face shone like the sun. It was like this bright light was shining all around them. And the Bible says suddenly, not only was there Jesus on the mountain, but there was also Moses and Elijah right there with him. Moses, you remember, was that Old Testament prophet who led God's people out of slavery in Egypt, almost to the promised land. Like, he didn't quite make it, but he was almost there. Moses was this huge figure in the Old Testament. And Elijah was right there with him. He was like this all-star prophet. You can read all about him in the books of 1 and 2 Kings. And in fact, the Bible says that Elijah did not die, but he ascended into heaven on this fiery chariot, this like great scene. And so suddenly Moses and Elijah are there with Jesus. Remember at the end of like Star Wars Episode 6 when like the movie's ending and suddenly in like this kind of figurine, it's like Yoda and Obi-Wan Kenobi and Anakin kind of all right there. And it must have been like that in my mind anyway. Suddenly it's Jesus and Moses and Elijah. I mean, it had to have been kind of like that. And so like us, I mean, if we were there, I mean, Peter, James, and John, the story says, were overcome by it all. Luke says, Lord, it is so good for us to be here. We should like set up a tent. We should have some kind of memorial or monument to remember not only this day, but remember this place. But while Peter was speaking, suddenly this cloud overshadowed them. I mean, it's like the fog like rolls off the ocean. Like this fog came in so thick, it covered all of them. I mean, it's almost like the dirt that covers all of our cars these days up there on the mountaintop. And suddenly from that cloud, the voice of God said, this is my son. This is my chosen one. God gives the same exact line that he gave when Jesus was baptized way back a few stories ago. God said, this is my son. In case you don't know, now you know. It's almost like, if you didn't know who the Messiah was, if you weren't sure what God's love was like, the Prince of Peace and the Son of God and the Mighty Savior, God in the flesh, this is him. Here in this cloud, covered there by it, covered in love, this is Jesus the Christ. And for Peter, James, and John, it was this amazing experience. I mean, we can't even imagine what it was like, this kind of awe-inspiring experience. And when they came down the mountain, they didn't know what to say to anybody. I mean, they were left speechless. All we know is that their lives were changed from that moment being in the presence of Christ. You see that moment with Peter, James, and John, and Moses and Elijah, and Jesus there too, makes us stop. Makes us stop and it makes us wonder. And in fact, it makes us kind of beg the question for us. I mean, having left the cloud, having been in the presence of Jesus, having heard the voice of God and realizing who he is, it makes us wonder what we are covered in these days. I mean, whose ways and in what values are covering our lives today? A few years ago, I heard this preacher and this author named Rob Bell talking in this little video, and he was talking about the disciples and like the kind of disciples that Jesus chose to follow. I mean, we know about Peter, James, and John. We heard about them. But we also know in the Bible, it gives like the whole entire list, all 12 of them, like Bartholomew and Andrew and Simon Peter and even Judas Iscariot was called there among those first 12. The Bible tells us that they were fishermen back in the day. And Jesus was walking down like the seashore and he said, drop your nets and come follow me. And they did. And their lives were changed from that moment. But beyond being fishermen, we don't know much else about them. So in this video, Rob Bell was talking about how like these 12 disciples were chosen and they were called to follow. And so he talks about what life was like back in the first century AD. I mean, years and years ago. Talked about how kind of young students would grow up going to synagogue school. And that as those students were actually growing up, the best of the best of the best students were chosen. They were chosen by a rabbi to leave school, to now follow this new rabbi, to learn and to study and to learn how to teach and preach. So as those young students were following this new rabbi, they would literally follow that rabbi everywhere he went, literally following right behind him. Tradition says that because they would follow that rabbi so close, they would literally be covered in the dust of the road as the rabbi was walking down it. They were walking so closely. As those students grew up and some were called away, some were kind of stuck there in school, and some were chosen and some weren't. And so Rob Bell was actually saying that the guys like Peter, James, and John, and all the rest of the disciples, by the time that Jesus calls them, they weren't young kids anymore. They weren't teenagers. They had jobs, and they had lives, and they had responsibilities. I mean, they were like kids on the playground who didn't get called and chosen for tag. They were kind of left to kind of hang out on their own. And so they started their own family, and they had their own job. And so when Jesus came walking by, these were guys that weren't chosen. They were the left behind, kind of loner kind of guys, not the best of the best. I mean, not like the A-plus students, more like the D-minus students in school. But Jesus called them by name, invited them to drop their nets and follow him. And not only were they covered in the cloud there on top of that high mountain, and not only did they hear who Jesus really was, but by following Jesus Christ, they would be covered in the dirt and the dust of the road that Jesus was walking on because their lives were so closely linked to his. You see, this is it. This is what it means to follow Jesus in our lives today. If it is our desire and our call to follow Christ, we want to follow Jesus so closely that the dust from his love is kicked up and covers us completely. I mean, don't we know that these days lots of people vie for our attention and lots of places call us to pledge allegiance and lots of agendas and lots of people saying, come and follow me the best. Jesus not only invites us to follow, but go in his ways. He invites us to live lives just like he did, to be peacemakers in this world, to be covered in his love so much that we can be people of hope and peace and grace, and to hear his voice stirring in our ears and speaking to our hearts and calling us to treat others the same way that he did. I mean, this year, this time of year, in this like late winter, early spring time of year, we know because our cars give evidence of what it's like to have dirt and dust and grime all over the place. I mean, our cars give us away about where we're from. And so may our lives tell a story. May our lives tell not only where we're from and who we are, but whose we are. Because we're following Jesus Christ so closely every single day. Let us pray. O loving, gracious God, we give you thanks and praise for your Son, Jesus Christ, the one who shone like the sun, who was transfigured there on that high mountain. We pray that the light that shone down from heaven around him might shine in our lives once again here today. Fill us and bless us, O God. Make our thoughts be his thoughts, our words his, and our actions his as well. For bless us and fill us, O God, in the name of Christ we pray. Amen.